Hi, everyone. Happy New Year. Welcome to the show. And by Happy New Year, I mean I'm glad we're all still alive. The Mayans might have been off by about 8 years because it seems like 2020 is the world. The world's going to end.
Wait, when did they say?
2012.
Did they? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so. Dude, I feel like 2020 has been insane. First of all, New Year's Eve, like, the mood was so bad, I felt, everywhere. Like, no one was excited. Not even, like, because, like, New Year's Eve, people pretend to be quite excited and stuff. It was, like, just the end of a shit decade. Not even, like, it's, like, the end of, like, the decade started so well and it ended so badly. And then I spent, like, the first 3 days really upset about what's going on in Australia. I was just like, this is insane, this is crazy. And then all this Iran-US stuff kicked off, which I quite frankly was not feeling hopeful about at all. So I'm actually quite amazed that right now we're sitting like without a war so far. I mean, yeah. It's Saturday. Who knows what will happen by
Monday? I mean, you and I get along, so I don't know why the rest of our compatriots can't.
Yeah. Shall we sort of solve U.S.-Iran relations right now?
I feel like we're already doing that. I feel like you and I are an example that America...
of, like, diplomacy.
Yeah. We're doing fine. We have our moments, but we're doing great.
This is the Gender Not. I'm Naz.
I'm Dan. We're going to talk about... let's tighten up. We're going to talk about victim blaming today, and I don't want to say that while laughing because it's not a very funny subject. But we got a few things that we want to ramble on about before we do that.
Yeah, so as ever, write to us, thegendernot@gmail.com. Write to us about loads of things, about everything, about how the US and Iran can improve relations. Actually, no, really don't write to us about that.
Yeah, we don't want to hear that.
I don't want to hear that. Dude, also, I was thinking, wait, I have to rant a little bit. The other day, I was thinking that, like, you know, like, all the leaders of big nations, apart from Germany, it's all these, like, hooligan men, right? All the big countries, like, Brazil, you know, US, like, Russia, China,
Canada,
UK.
That racist hooligan.
Right. And then, I was just like, Angela Merkel is like the only one who's like an adult and isn't a lunatic. And then she's stepping down. So then I'm like freaking out about like, is some like Job going to come in power in like, you know, Germany in a year or something? It's really like upsetting me.
Maybe the Mayans meant 2021 instead of 2012. Maybe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just got the one and the two backward. They were really close. Could happen to anyone. Maybe some dyslexic Mayan.
Oh, dude.
Was putting the calendar together and he meant to write 2021 and he wrote 2012 and we're just doomed. I don't see a way out of anyway.
No, but I've been watching the Australia thing and it's like everything is burning.
Everything.
And then that's another place with like a hooligan leader who's like whatever. And it's like, oh, God, it's so sad. But anyway, so write to us, now that I get off the soapbox, write to us.
Today we're going to talk about victim blaming. One thing that we would like people to write to us about is we want to do kind of a spin-off, hopefully, of this episode where we actually talk about perpetrators.
Yeah, what do we do with perpetrators? Well, it kind of comes up a lot in terms of our making amends and apologies, but kind of more... what do groups or societies do about perpetrators? Perpetrators being people who have committed assaults, sexual assaults. I think it really extends to a lot of kind of abusive behavior, to be honest.
Sure.
But yeah. So we're going to go into that. Before we go into this episode, though, we want to give a shout out to a really fantastic show everyone should check out. It's called Man Up. It is by Slate and it's hosted by Ayman Ismail, who is great. So it's basically a podcast where Ayman tries to figure out what it means to be a man today. And it's really good. He's super thoughtful. I've been tuning in and you should all check it out. You should check it out, Dan. You might have some thoughts. But basically, actually, there's an episode I really, really liked where he has a therapy session. I think it's literally called like my first therapy session or something like that. And it's actually really interesting because he goes to this therapy session and it's recorded. And it's actually quite touching because you can tell it's really kind of difficult for him opening up and trying to talk about his experiences. And he's almost quite defensive at the start. So he starts off, I don't want to give it away.
Yeah, that's how it goes. You start defensive.
Start defensive, right?
You never know what this therapist is going to get into. So you got to put up a fence.
Well,
maybe
not a wall, but
at least a fence.
A bit of a fence. Well, this is the bit which is quite sweet because he kind of starts off by, and you'll all tune in so you'll hear it, but he kind of starts off like slightly being defensive about his defense mechanisms. So he talks about like unhealthy things he does to not deal with his feelings, and he's like, yeah, but they're surely okay or stuff. Do you know what I mean? And the therapist is all like, yes, well, they could have worked. But actually, I really liked it because I thought it was quite sweet because I've been following Jeff Brown a lot. He is, I think he's a therapist. He's someone with a lot of good ideas. But he talks about this too, about defense mechanisms and how, you know, we do all these unhealthy things, whether it's avoiding the problem or stonewalling or like, you know, numbing our feelings in various ways. And the reason we do them is because they've worked short term. And it's when you're like in healing, he suggests a really good thing is to sort of like, See your defense mechanisms as old friends who you've outgrown. So you can be like, hello, stonewalling. You really helped me through some tough periods. But now I don't need you anymore. So thank you, which I think is really sweet. I feel like you think it's ridiculous.
I think that's really, I just, man.
I think it's really sweet. It's really cute.
Hey, stonewalling, you were so cool when Dad was drunk all those times as a kid. But, ugh.
I've
grown up and I've made new friends.
I think it's sweet. I feel like you're being really dismissive.
I've made new friends, like acceptance and
you're sounding really
journaling.
Dismissive.
I made a new friend called journaling.
I feel like you're the problem. You're doing exactly what happened in this therapy session. Exactly what happened in Iman's therapy session. We got defensive.
I'm stonewalling your journey through stonewalling.
Exactly. But anyway, I thought that was really lovely. And it was really nice hearing Iman sort of like trying to open up. It was really good. I thought it was really good. And also, actually, speaking of perpetrators, they did an episode which was called Where Mass Shootings Often Start, where he talked to, I can't remember her name, but it was someone who works in preventing domestic violence, because that's often where a lot of mass shooters, you know, come from. They have some sort of history with that. And he asked her like something like, it was something like, how can we stop domestic violence or, you know, stop it from happening and stuff. And she said something like, until people stop inviting like cousin Bob for Christmas dinner because he beats his wife, then nothing's going to change, which I thought was kind of cool. And I think it's very along the lines of what you and I think about the importance for consequences or nothing changes. So everyone, yeah, check out Man Up. It's by Slate. You can find it on all major podcast platforms.
And stop inviting cousin Bob to Christmas dinner if you celebrate Christmas. Yeah. If you don't celebrate Christmas, you can invite him, I guess.
That's with the wrong spirit. That's with the wrong spirit.
Listen, so, it was a very definitive statement.
We're gonna move on to this week's topic. So we are gonna talk about victim blaming.
Yeah, you just did a really thought-provoking doc on the BBC about it.
So yeah, I just made a documentary about victim blaming. We've linked to it in the show notes. You should listen to it, not just because I made it, but because it's super relevant to a lot of topics that come up on this podcast. So I spoke to Megan Toohey and Jodi Kantor. They're the two New York Times reporters who broke the Weinstein story. I've spoke to one of Weinstein's alleged victims. Heard from Jackson Katz and Meetu Sanyal, who've both
been on
this show. Yeah, they've been on the show. So yeah, it was really interesting the stuff they said. I'm not going to say everything, but long story short, a lot of like, so victim blaming meaning like sort of, you know, if someone says that they've been sexually assaulted, you know, people might not believe them, they might try and downplay it, they might, you know, all these questions about like, especially women get this, what was she wearing, was she drunk, you know, why did she date that guy, why was she dancing with him, do you know what I mean?
Sure.
All these kind of questions, yeah, to sort of like put the blame back on her, all the way to outright disbelief as well, right? So like a lot of the reasons will be things like people don't really want to believe that such a thing has happened. Also, another key fact as well is the fact that when it comes to sexual assault, victims and perpetrators often know each other. And that's like a really, it's weird because often I feel like people have this image that like, oh, it's like scary people in back alleys, whereas that's not really the case.
Right. Well, I mean, no, yeah.
And so that makes the dynamic complex, right? That makes it complex. So then it's easier to like blame the victim because it's less black and white.
Right. I think those are the ones that we're looking at where we're talking about the more blatant and grotesque experiences, but there's a lot of stuff that's like beneath like the crazy back alley things.
Well, you know, so I was looking up stats for this doc. So in England, when it comes to sexual assault, 90% of the time victims and perpetrators know each other.
That's
like
the
that
stat
is massive.
Here too. I looked that I up here too.
Yeah. And it's like, that's like insane, right? So it's often like, you know, well, I mean, we spoke to Jeannie Vanaska, right? Her childhood best friend raped her. So I think that's such an important thing where, think of a scenario like that, right? Like, well, I don't really want to talk for Jeannie, but like a situation, person A and B, there's been an assault. They probably share a lot of mutual friends, right? Who probably don't want to believe that one of those people behaved that way. Or it's hard for them to believe that. So that's like a really big thing that happens.
And I think it was something that Jackson said on the doc, which is like, it's easier to believe, or maybe Me Too said it. I don't remember. I'm going to misquote whoever it was. But they said that it's easier to believe that someone would lie than it is to believe that someone would do something that horrendous.
Yeah, Me Too.
Like, because lying, yeah. They're both wrong, but one is way less wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Jackson also said, which is something I really want us to talk about at some point. Jackson also said that, like, you know, most men who sexually assault women are normal guys. They're not like sick pathological men, which is the phrase he used. And something he said to me, which I didn't have time to put in the doc because he said so much great stuff. But he was saying to me that he thinks all the discussion past few years about, like, you know, Bill Cosby or Harvey Weinstein or guys like that, he finds it actually really unhelpful because of this, that like the vast majority of sexual assaults are not carried out by like these, first of all, these guys who are super gross, but also like it's such a massive power differential. You know, most of sexual assaults are carried out by the kinds of guys that we know and like and we hang out with, you know.
Right.
I think that's really important.
It's a really easy thing to be like, well, I'm not as bad as X, right? Like, well, I murdered the guy, but I didn't fucking eat him.
Yeah, but I think aside from that, it's also because, like, I hate to say this, but say, like, when the whole Bill Cosby thing got big, I feel like so many of us were like, yeah, but he was always creepy. Do you know what I mean? Whereas it's like a lot of, like, men who do these things, yeah, they might be just a regular guy who you really get on with.
Yeah.
And then that's why it's like, oh, I don't want to believe that that kind of a guy might have done something bad to someone.
Yeah.
And actually between, I think in our conversations, we need to be careful too, because often we'll be talking about bad behavior that happens between men and women. And then one of us will bring up one of these famous gross guys.
Right.
And often I'm not thinking of guys like that when we're talking about abusive behavior. I'm thinking of like regular guys that you and I both know and get on with. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Well, it's...
So I think it's something to be careful about with these.
Yeah. Well, and something that came up on the doc was like restructuring a lot of our language around it, right? And maybe that's part of the restructuring of the language is like, maybe let's stop going to the obvious.
Yeah.
Example. Yeah. Maybe let's stop going to the biggest example.
Yeah. So Dan and I were thinking, let's talk about how we cannot victim blame. So let's talk about how we can actually be helpful towards victims. We talked about this a little bit with Me Too Sagnol in our episode about how to talk about rape. But yeah, we're thinking of just, and we'd love to hear from you guys. So write in, especially if you've got experiences with this. So like, yeah, say a friend of yours comes to you and wants to open up about having been assaulted, or even just having had something really bad happen to them. It doesn't have to be sexual assault, I think, but, you know, something abusive or, you know, some big violation has happened and they're upset, kind of how to handle it.
You know, something that you said before we started recording was like, a lot of people are like, well, I don't know what to do, so what do I do? You know what I mean? And you were like, try just Googling it.
Because this is something that comes up where it's like, sometimes people aren't helpful towards victims because they don't know what to do. Me Too talked about this on my doc as well, that people don't really know how to help someone, so they disappear.
Right.
And it's like, you know, I find that quite unacceptable because it's like, we live in an age where we have access to knowledge and resources. It's like, you and I live in like societies where there are a lot of resources. So it's like, just start with Googling, you know, like Googling, how do I help a friend who's been assaulted, and take it from there. Like,
right.
You know, find some links, speak to some people, like, you know, use your initiative.
It's so funny that you said that before we started talking, because I had literally Googled it like 20 minutes before and was looking at stuff. And I have like multiple tabs open on my computer right now that are just like ideas on how to, you know, combat victim blaming or help victims when they're feeling blamed. And like, it's not a hard Google. You know, I got a buddy recently, his kid, who's like 4, dislocated his elbow. And my buddy just Googled how to fix that. And he watched a YouTube video and he popped his kid's elbow back in. So we live in a time where anything that happens in your life that you don't know how to do, you can just type it in.
Yeah, because I think this is this is something I have real issue with, when people are like, I don't know what to do, so I just didn't do anything, or I just disappeared, which is also a very bad thing, because if someone's had something bad happen to them, they need support. The last thing they need is for their friend to disappear.
Right.
But I just can't stand this argument of, I didn't know what to do. I feel like it's okay to make mistakes, but it's not okay to not deal with a situation. So it's like, you know, we just Google everything these days. Guys, use your initiative. Start there. I'm not saying that's like the end of the journey, but it's like, it's a good place to start, you know?
Right. And I think it's okay to take care of your own emotional well-being, right? I don't think we're saying don't. Like, if you have if something's bringing something up for you that's hard for you to take care of, that's totally okay. Just voice that and that's fine, you know? Don't. Try not to just vanish.
Yeah, and actually kind of along that those lines as well, I think. It's just, I know it sounds really obvious, but just like, turn up, be there, and listen to someone's experience. Don't try to explain to them what happened. And I think that just happens a lot when people hear difficult things where they don't know how to make someone feel better. So you can't make someone feel better. Just kind of listen to their experience. Don't explain it to them. Don't minimize it, you know?
Right, right. I think, and you know, it's really hard to find the line between like giving advice and sharing experience. Do you know what I mean? Or giving, or like, you know, because I think we all want to, most of us, the good among society, want to fix things, right? But it's like, there's certain examples of things, this being one of them, that like, we rarely have an opportunity to fix, you know?
Well, I disagree. Not fix, in way, I mean, there might be an opportunity. There's the opportunity to help someone to heal, or to get justice, or to do something about it to stop it in the future.
Right, but I think as men, and I'm speaking, I guess, for and as a man and two men, I think we often try to go the hero route and fix everything. You know what I mean? And that's just not a situation that's going to be fixed in a moment, right? It's going to take a lot more than just like, well, here's what we're going to do, right? Like, obviously helping and healing is great, but it's not an overnight situation.
Yeah,
and
but it's funny you say that though, because I think being a woman and speaking to women who have been in situations of assault or abuse, often the annoying thing is how little men step up. So it's funny hearing that from you, because I don't think that's often the problem of like, this friend of my friend Jake came in and tried to fix it. It's often like Jake's done nothing about it and he hasn't talked about it and he ignores it and he gets awkward. It's right, kind of like so, weird hearing that from you.
So I think it's probably then a combination of the two things we've just talked about, right? Where I think a lot of times when men don't know how to fix something, they disappear.
Right. Okay. But you know actually, what I mean? Okay. Yeah. So, and this is interesting because Jackson Katz generally talks about this, but like there are situations where actually men need to step up if things are going to change. You know,
completely agree.
And especially something like this, because I think often it's like things like assault and even just abusive behavior. It's so common for women to have dealt with that. It's really common for a woman to tell her friend she's been assaulted. And that's probably happened to the friend too. Maybe they're going to get triggered. Do you know what I mean? I think this is when I'm not saying men don't get assaulted as well, but, you know, by and large, this happens more to women.
Right.
So I think that's why, like, these are situations where men really need to step up and they need to say things to other men to support and step up.
Right, right. And I think that's, yeah, I think I'm just saying what I'm trying to say wrongly. I get what you're saying. A combination of the two things, right? It's like, I don't know how to fix this, so I'm just going to, you know, ignore it, right? Yeah. And like you can't. I think the thing is we as an individual, there's not much I can do to fix a situation, but I need to accept that and offer what help I can provide.
But what do you mean by fixing a situation? Because that's really vague language. Specifically, say your friend Jane comes to you and is like, you know, I've been assaulted. What is fixing in your opinion?
My point is there's no fix. Like it's like there's this response in men, which is like, the sink is broken, I'll fix it. The right. car is broken, I'll fix it. You know, X happened, I will do Y. But in a situation like this, where it's extremely delicate and blurry and complicated, and there's a lot going on, and it's emotional, it's not tangible. There's no thing. There's no switch. There's no, I can't open my toolbox and fix this. It takes a lot of stuff. And I think a lot of times men are not equipped with like the know-how of just going like, okay, well, this is a situation where we're going to sit and talk and I'm going to do a lot of listening and maybe right. we're going to like get on the internet and find some resources and some people to call and some places to go. And I'm just going to be here and be a person with a person. You know what I mean?
Well, because, okay, so this is interesting you say this, because I think this thing of like this kind of stereotype of men rushing to fix, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing if it's used in terms of me fixing when Jane comes to me telling me she's been assaulted. Is, as you say, listen to her, take action. Action meaning exactly what you're saying. Let's see resources to get her help. Let's see resources to get healing. Let's see something about, should I talk to the person who's done this? Should I lay boundaries with the person who's done this? Should I let other people know to stay away from this person? Should I maybe report it to the police if Jane is okay with that? Do you know what I mean? I think mm-hmm. there's a lot of little fixy things that men can do. So like, I think that's a kind of a good thing to harness.
Absolutely.
Like fixing doesn't mean you're gonna turn back time. Fixing means all these like small regular things, and it's not one act, it's like continuous regular acts.
Right, that's exactly my point, is that I think in like the man brain, that fixing is, you know, one action that solves a problem. And my point is that there's no one action. There's no fix. There's no quick fix, I guess, is the better way of saying it. You know, this is long and complicated, and most of it is going to be, most of the action involved is going to be making yourself available and not trying to solve it, right? Like, more often than not, I think in situations like this, like, I as like what I think is like a good person, I want to step in and do things and fix things. But a lot of times, like you said, like going to the police if they're okay with it, setting a boundary if they're okay with it. You know,
yeah, but guys don't even do any of these things. I know I'm not having a go at you. I'm not saying you've said that. But it's interesting hearing these things. Guys don't do any of these things in these scenarios. None of these things happen.
I'm completely agreeing with you. Yeah. And my what I'm saying is that I think because this is what I think, and I don't know if it's true, but I think because there isn't an obvious quick fix, a lot of times they feel inadequate and don't do anything, which is a complete, which is a huge fucking problem on its own. It's maybe a bigger problem than doing the wrong thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
I think in general, doing the wrong thing isn't a problem. You're going to make mistakes in general in life. Just apologize and try better next time.
Yeah, apologize and take an action around the apology. Exactly. We've talked about
That's true. We have talked about this. But especially in this case, just because I know I keep saying this, but I think a lot of guys need to know that it's so common for women to experience this, where, you know, Jane will tell her friend, I don't know, like Sally. I can't believe I used those words. I know Jane will tell her friend Sarah, and Sarah might have had a bad experience and she gets triggered,
right?
And then, do you know what I mean? And it's this kind of thing of like a lot of women having to help each other through situations where they're already wounded and they're already finding it hard as it is. And I don't want to sound melodramatic. It's so bloody common for women to have dealt with assault, with rape, with abusive scenarios. It is so common,
right? Which is why one of the first things I said was like, obviously, like if this is hard for you, you got to take care of your own emotional health, right? But because like that's kind of where I was going when you were saying people disappear, but I also now am on the other side talking about specifically men.
No, but that's good because that's why you're here.
Yeah, that's my job.
That's your job. But something else I also wanted to bring up is that if someone's been assaulted, it's very likely they might be suffering from trauma, and that means they might be upset, they might get very angry. Don't take it personally.
They might forget things in their story. That doesn't mean they're lying.
Right, exactly. But I think this also happens a lot where someone has had a bad experience. They're traumatized. And yeah, maybe they're going to be angry a lot. Maybe they're going to, you know, be really upset. Don't take it personally. That's actually a sign that they need your support, you know.
Right. Maybe they're going to be distant. Maybe they're going to be closed off.
Exactly.
You know,
so checking on them. Yeah.
I think one thing I read earlier today, so I'm not going to act like it's just my own brilliant thinking, but is that sometimes victims don't act like what you think a victim should act like.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what you're getting at right here is like, maybe they're going to be angry. Maybe they're going to be quiet. Maybe they're going to be distant. Maybe they're going to be hungry. I don't know.
And maybe they're going to be normal as well. They might just act normally.
Right. They might just act like nothing happened.
But I just feel like if they do act, you know, angry or upset or something, don't take it personally and, again, disappear or not want to talk to them or whatever. That's kind of like a sign that something has happened, you know.
Mm.
I feel this is something I've seen a lot in around me when someone, usually a woman, has been assaulted or abused or something and has trauma, and then it's like, oh, she's acting like a crazy woman. It's like, no, that's called like that's called PTSD, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's not being crazy. That's a sign of trauma.
Yeah, I think, you know, the last thing, and I just want to make sure, I think this goes without saying if you know us at all, but like, try not to ask questions that have an accusation in them up top, right? Like, if we're talking about victim blaming, like, don't be like, oh, what was she wearing?
Right.
Or like, were you drinking that night? Like, that's not an excuse to be harmed.
Right. Or like, why didn't you leave the situation? Why didn't you do this or that?
Right. Why did you go to that place that night? You know, it's a dangerous place. Like, okay. Right.
But what actually, you know how I was saying usually victims and perpetrators know each other?
Right.
Right?
Right.
I think that's what makes it really complicated, because it's like, well, why didn't you get up when, you know, your colleague started behaving like X? And it's like, maybe they were scared. Maybe they felt like this guy is way bigger than me and I can't do anything. Maybe they froze, which is also a reaction to feeling scared. Maybe they didn't want to escalate the situation, so they tried to be nice so it would end quicker.
Yeah. So just don't accuse people.
We're interested in hearing people's experiences with this. Not opinions, right? Experiences. So if you have been the victim of an assault or even a very abusive situation, or if you have had a friend who has been a victim.
Right.
Just really interested in kind of like how to tackle that. And especially like if you didn't know what to do, how did you try and overcome that situation? How did you try to learn or to support or just like, yeah, any kind of any, but again, experiences. This is one of those topics where I don't really want people's opinions because it's really easy to like theoretically be like, well, I would do X.
Right.
Like,
if that ever happened to me.
Yeah. I would do X. Yeah. Do I sound really mean?
No, it's great.
Actually, so this is funny. I remember there was some mass shooting in your country. I can't even remember which one because you guys have so many.
What day last week are you talking about?
Right, but it was one of these mass shootings. And you know when like journalists, they go out and get lots of like opinions from people on the street. And they had asked people, like, you know, what would you have done if you were in that scenario? Like, would you have tried to stop the shooter or, you know, what would you have done? And loads of people were like, yeah, I would have jumped in. I'd have, like, tried to wrestle them or whatever. And the best response was this woman who looked really disgusted at the journalist and said, I don't give opinions about things that I don't know anything about. Which I thought was brilliant.
Hell yeah, dude.
I thought it was just brilliant. It was just the best sort of, like... Yeah, I just thought it was a great, great answer.
Marvelous answer. So don't give opinions about things you
don't have experience with. Just don't be all high horsey and like, well, I would do X because it's like, dude, just, yeah. Anyway, so this is The Gender Knot. I'm Naz.
I'm Dan. We'll talk to you next time.
Oh, yeah, and we're going to talk about Frozen 2 next time. So you've got like 3 or 4 weeks to see it. Because I'm going to start doing spoilers. We were going to do it today, but we thought victim blaming is really important. But
it's a big week for that.
Yeah, it is a big week for that. You've got another few weeks because that's going to be Frozen 2, and I'm well excited.
All right, we'll talk to you then. Bye.